Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Hope you had a great NFL weekend. I certainly did. Can't wait to get into it. Let's talk some football. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. By now, you know this particular program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The show sets up like this. Lots of football right off the top. And then coming up next segment, a broadcaster for the NFL on Fox, Charles Davis. Second hour is open. All your phone calls then. Third hour is loaded up. Green Bay Packers linebacker Blake Martinez at the top of the third hour. And an NBC Sports Patriots insider, Tom Curran. Lots to talk about regarding the Patriots. So once again, let me hit you with that telephone number. Use it, 1-800-636-8686. You know you can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. And you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. So much to get to. Starting with a week one recap. Thursday night, that game to start the 2019 NFL season might have been boring. The Thursday night game was boring. But the first Sunday was not. Sure as hell was not. In fact, it was awesome. And as with anything, let me preface all of this by saying it's only one game. It's only one game. You can't jump to conclusions about anybody or any team after only one game. That said, week one had a hell of a lot of action for only one game. You had Patrick Mahomes lighting up the Jags, then getting hurt, or so it seemed. You had an entire sport holding its collective breath when he left the game in the second quarter. But then he comes back to finish with 378 yards and three touchdowns and look great. And as good as he looked, how about Sammy Watkins? Sammy Watkins may have looked even better. 9 receptions, nearly 200 yards, and all three of those TDs.
Second and goal. Mahomes, pump and throw. End zone. Touchdown! Sammy Watkins has been a machine. Third of the day for Watkins.
Yeah, I think he still got some weapons, even when Tyreek Hill went down. On the other side of that, things were not so good for the Jags. You talk about a hard luck guy. Nick Foles, busted clavicle in the first quarter. Then you've got Miles Jack. They lose him to an ejection in the second quarter. So if Kansas City picked up right where they left off last year, then Jacksonville may have done the exact same thing. Let me move through this quickly. I've got lots of opening thoughts on the opening weekend. Also, you had Ezekiel Elliott making his return only to get upstaged by Dak Prescott, who had arguably his best game ever. He passed for over 400 yards, he had 4 touchdowns, and he had a perfect QBR. About DeSean Jackson making his return to Philly and making Washington look stupid. 8 receptions, 154 yards, 2 long TDs. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. And what the hell do I know? Maybe it'd be a good idea to try to cover this guy on some of those deep routes.
On third down, 4-man rush. Pressure comes. Wentz going to let it fly. He's got Jackson again. He's got it. Touchdown.
DeSean Jackson? Oh, you didn't see that, did you, Alvy? He looked awesome. Meantime, you had Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray.
Jackson.
Thank you. Kyler Murray did not look awesome to start that game. Understandably so. A rookie starting his first game. Yet he brought them back. The Cards came from 18 down in the fourth quarter in Murray's first NFL game to rip a tie from the Lions and completely melt the brain of whoever put out this tweet for the Detroit Free Press. Quote, final. The Lions, Lionsed. The Cardinals, Cardinalsed. Everyone's unhappy, and it's all okay, because one day the earth will get swallowed by the sun, and nothing will ever exist ever again. End quote. Oh, okay. I've got to imagine at this point that Jets fans are hoping that that day comes sooner rather than later, because gangrene jumped all over the Bills early on. They had a 16-0 lead over the Bills. Great start to the season. The defense looked good, forcing turnovers, getting a pick six, and a safety. Le'Veon Bell getting off to a good start after a year off and beating down a division rival. It could not have gone any better than that. And then it could not have gone any more Jets than that. giving up 17 straight points, and they go from winning 16-0 to losing 17-16 at home, from absolutely dominating to absolutely choking. Absolutely nothing worked for them. You blow a 16-point lead, despite the fact that you were plus +3 in the turnover department. Man, you've got to be really good to be that bad. You have to be really good to be that bad. What a choke job that was. And again, it's only one game. It's only one game for everybody. Like, take Lamar Jackson. It's only what? Jackson? Alvy, twice. It's only one game.
Jackson?
Yeah, thanks for nothing, Alvin. Way to get that today. It's only one game. However, in the case of Lamar Jackson, it's just one game. But Lamar Jackson is an NFL quarterback. And the Miami Dolphins are not an NFL team.
Third down and 3. Jackson has all day. Looking deep for Hollywood Brown again. He's got it. Brown off to the races. And he stays on his feet. Touchdown. 83 yards.
Let me make this crystal clear. Lamar Jackson should not be playing receiver. The Miami Dolphins should not be playing pro football. Making fun of the Dolphins is like shooting fish in a barrel. So is playing them. Jackson absolutely lit them up. And then Jackson lit up everybody who has doubted him.
Pretty much the whole offseason that you were going to throw the ball. Do you think you improved the people that you were throwing the ball to?
Probably not. Not bad for a running back.
Not bad for a running back. Not bad for a running back. 17 for 20 for 324 yards, 5 touchdowns, and a perfect quarterback rating. Take that for data.
Take that for data.
I mean, anybody who was running with that garbage that the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in college would be better as a wide receiver in the NFL, better apologize for that right now. Or at least explain it right now. Or at least answer for it right now. Or at least just sit there and slam a Crow Sando and chase it with some humble pie right now. Because not only did he turn around Baltimore's season last year, they committed to him in the offseason, got him weapons, and then he goes right out and he does that yesterday. Now again, it's just one game. It's just one game, and just as importantly, it was just the Dolphins. Again, only one game. But reportedly, that one game was more than enough for some Dolphins players, according to PFT. Multiple players reached out to their agents after the game and asked to be traded. Yeah, that's not so good. That's not good, and neither are the Dolphins. I don't ever recall ever hearing anything like that. One game in, and a bunch of their guys are telling their reps, get me the hell out of here. Get me the hell out of here. Just one game, right? One game in, and we're talking about an alleged mutiny. Even back in the day when they looked like they could run the table. No, looked like they would run the table in reverse. It never got to this point. Never got close to this point. Yet, here we are. Here the bleep we are. After only 1 week.
Here we are. Here the f*** we are.
I mean, when they were looking at running the table backwards back in the day, they at least tried every single week. They cared. And personally, I got to be honest, I'm a little confused by the whole thing. I'm kind of confused as to why the Dolphins players are reacting the way they are. I mean, sure, they were down 42-0 in the first half. Sure, they were humiliated 59-10 at home in front of zero fans. Exactly what do they expect? Where were you all the last few months when everybody in the world knew that this team was tanking for Tua or hoping for Herbert or getting a really early start on losing for Lawrence? Were you around for the Laremy Tunsil trade? Did you not notice when they started collecting as many draft picks as possible and as few players as possible? Why did you need to get your ass kicked for 60 minutes to realize, oh, wait, we're not that good. Oh, wait, They don't even want to win. Oh, wait, they want to lose. How do you not know that? Everybody knew that. The tank is on, so how are you the last ones to know it? How are the guys in that locker room the last ones to know it? And of course, the front office and the coaching staff's not going to say they're tanking. They can't. They can't say they are, but actions reveal priorities, and winning is not a priority in Miami. Not this year, it's not. I mean, Brian Flores isn't going to go out there and say, we're trying to lose games. But then again, he doesn't have to, does he? He just has to play the team that he's been given, and that will take care of the losing. Again, only one game, but the Dolphins look like they'll have another 15 just like it starting this week against New England. Hey, let me ask you something. How many of you last night were hitting refresh, hitting refresh, hitting refresh, waiting for the line on next week's game between the Dolphins and the Pats? How many of you wanted to get down last night? How many of you kept trying? And then when it finally did pop in, you hit it. Man, that line's going to move the wrong way for the Dolphins. You'll probably hit it again. So I do want to talk about that. They already have guys calling their agents saying, get me the hell out of here. I'm not doing this. Yes, you are. You got a long way to go. After all, it's only one game. And yes, I am well aware that I did not mention America's team, the Cleveland Browns. I am well aware that I was the guy driving that bandwagon. Just so you know, I still am. And they're going to get their own take. That's why I did not mention them in the rundown of week one. They get their own take. I'm still on that bandwagon, even if that was one of the biggest letdowns ever. But my thoughts on the Browns are coming up. Hey, go ahead, jump. Jump ship. Did you Johnny come lately? Let's get the hell off the bandwagon. We don't need you. We don't want you. And I will get to them a little bit later on. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up. Patriots, Raiders, and Antonio Brown. Because, of course, that went down like that. Does that surprise anybody at all? Best thing of all, the Steelers. Steelers walking around, congratulating themselves, couldn't be any happier than Antonio Brown lit himself and the Raiders on fire, high-fiving each other, feeling so good about themselves, until he ended up going to the one team they swore they would never send him to. And that same team just beat them down last night, even without him. Very Antonio Brown, very New England Patriots, and very Oakland Raiders. And the only guy looking as bad as Brown right now is John Gruden, who let the whole thing happen.
Hey, John. Hey, John.
Time to see Mr. Roethlisberger. Time to see Mr. Brady. And Brady's like opening up his house. Oh, yeah, Antonio, come on in. You can live with me. So, of course, as we go to break, the big question, is it going to work in New England? Will Antonio Brown stay down? Will he fit in? Will he put the team first? Or will he go Antonio Brown the way he did in Pittsburgh and Oakland? Thing is, if he does, they don't care. There's almost no risk involved. All they did was go into Bob Kraft's ashtray, pull out a few million bucks, and commit it to Antonio Brown. If he can't fit in, if he can't stay down, they'll break him off. Looked pretty damn good last night even without him, didn't they? All right, when we come back, Charles Davis, NFL on Fox broadcaster, joins us. Then we are wide open until hour number three. Do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Then you better get with the program and get down to Hooters every week and catch the game and play Monday Night Moneyball. You're just a few questions away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies. You love wings. You love ice cold beer. Who doesn't love the world famous Hooters girls? Head on over to Hooters. Get your cheer on. Cheer, eat, drink, go for all the bread when you play Hooters Monday Night Moneyball. Check out HootersMoneyball.com and learn how you can do so right now. That's HootersMoneyball.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. As I mentioned, Thursday night might have been boring, but not yesterday. Week one was awesome, lots to get to, and joining us right now to break it down is an NFL Network analyst, an NFL on Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. Charles Davis is my guest. Charles, good morning. Great to have you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. I trust you're doing the same, and I think you broke it down so nicely. Thursday night, everybody got all worried about, oh, no one plays in the preseason. Oh, this is terrible. But we broke out in a big way on Sunday, that's for sure.
That's it. Charles Davis is joining us. All right, then, you were in Philadelphia, Charles, yesterday for Washington at Philadelphia. What kind of expectations did you have for both teams going into that game? And then what did you make of how that first half played out?
Oh, yeah. Look, this is the best way I can describe it, Jim. Washington going into the game, if you asked me about them, I would have described them in baseball terms. Good field, no hit, meaning obviously they can play defense very well. We weren't sure about the offense. Philadelphia on the opposite side, the big question, of course, Carson Wentz taking over his team again and no Nick Foles looming. Would he play to the level we saw 2 years ago when he should have been the league MVP? Well, when the first half ended, it was 20-7. At least we knew we were in Philadelphia, Jim, because they booed them off the field. I mean, the fans were in midseason form, booed them right off the field. Then the second half, we saw what Philadelphia wanted to do and got done in the offseason. They got some people around Carson Wentz to be more explosive, namely DeSean Jackson with two big touchdown catches.
We're talking to Charles Davis. I was going to ask you about that next. I mean, DeSean Jackson, not only is he back and still explosive, he's back and explosive at age 32 and running right by defenders. 8 receptions, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns. Charles, it looked like a flashback to 6 years ago. How do you explain that with this guy?
It's a great question, Jim, and he's one of the marvels of the league. And he actually said that when he was younger, he didn't worry about all the, you know, the extra stuff he had to do, the stretching and all that. He said, cheetahs don't stretch. They just get up and run fast.
Right.
Now he's actually stretching a little bit, and guess what? The cheetah still runs fast. And what I liked about what I saw Sunday, Jim, is that he and Wentz have already established an excellent connection on the deep ball. Because going into the season, that was one of the concerns. Carson Wentz throwing the deep ball, it wasn't looking great, only like 41% on passes over 20 yards last year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And remember, DeSean Jackson, Jameis Winston never really established that connection in Tampa, did they? It never looked right. He had a better connection with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the deep ball. Well, on Sunday, it showed all the off-field work came to fruition. OTAs, mini camps, throwing at Carson's house in Houston in the offseason. He and DeSean Jackson have it figured out in the early going.
It's paying immediate dividends. Charles Davis is joining us. So as good as that second half was for Philadelphia, how bad was it for Washington?
It was really bad because they couldn't do what they have to do, which is run the football. And you know Trent Williams is still out at left tackle. Donald Penn filled in for him and was playing fairly well. And then the second half had a couple of penalties, but it wasn't just him. The defensive front of Philadelphia, which struggled with that offensive line in the first half, they overwhelmed them in the second half. I mean, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett came to play yesterday for Philadelphia. They stuffed them in the run game. And once that happened, that made it very difficult for Case Keenum and those young receivers because in the first half, Jim, he spread it around. Everyone got a touch. Everyone got a catch. Everyone got a taste. In the second half, they couldn't get that done. A couple of drops kicked in, and the young receivers really became young. And there was one deep ball that Keenum had. McLaurin, the rookie out of Ohio State, he actually overthrew him. Otherwise, that could have taken some pressure off.
We are talking to Charles Davis. All right, so that was Philadelphia, Washington. The big story yesterday was the fact that the Raiders released Antonio Brown. The Patriots signed him. First off, Charles, when it's all said and done, how badly did that go for the Raiders and Antonio Brown?
Horribly. Absolutely horribly. And, Jim, in some ways it's not a surprise because guys who act in a certain way, you may give them more money, you may change the scenery, but if you give them any kind of, you know, leeway, they may very well just revert back to what you saw before. And let's face it, every guy goes to a new team, you always think, well, he won't do that with us or we'll establish a new way with him. With Antonio Brown, it just started badly. You know, they're burning his feet in cryotherapy in France, and then he shows up at camp and the helmet does. And he became the focal point instead of the Raiders trying to get a reboot. And I thought at one point they were just going to suspend him for a certain number of games. That didn't happen. And, of course, he ended up in New England. And I'll say this, Jim. That's the absolute right team and for this reason. Everyone thinks, oh, well, everyone's rehabilitated New England. That's not always true. Didn't Albert Haynesworth go there for a while? Okay, so it doesn't always work. But what I'm saying is if he doesn't toe the line and do it the New England way, Tom Brady will look at Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick will look at Tom Brady, and they'll cut him on the spot. If he goes anywhere else, you know what those teams are going to do? They're going to try and make it work. And that may very well drag down your locker room. Okay. I'm not crazy about him being out there, and he's got a great other opportunity with the way that he acted in Oakland. But that is the way the NFL works. But if he does well in New England, that means he's doing all the right things. But if you see him gone, Bill Belichick won't last 5 minutes if he doesn't do it the right way. So it's the absolute perfect team for him to go to.
We're talking to Charles Davis. I agree with everything you just said. So if you had to guess, how do you think that goes? Is he going to fit in? Will he accept that it's got to be team first? I mean, they will get rid of him if it doesn't work. Do you think it's going to work?
He will say all the right things. Tom Brady has already extended the olive branch and the hearty handshake of welcome, right? Didn't they say last night on the telecast, Jim, that he's going to be staying at his house until he gets settled?
Yep.
I mean, all those things are there for him. But I just go by past predictive behavior. And what we've seen in the last few years from him does not tell me that he's going to make it 16 games. Now, he could easily fool me. But they also have Josh Gordon, who is one of the better players when he's able to stay on the field. But every time he comes back to the NFL, it lasts a certain amount of time, and then something else happens because Josh has a disease, and it's unfortunate. He has to fight through all of that. So we're looking at the odds of Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown, and Demaryius Thomas, the excellent veteran who doesn't have any of those issues. It's just that he's a little bit older. Will all three of them be able to contribute for 16 and give Tom Brady what he wants? I would say no at this point. And I'm more bullish on Demaryius Thomas than I am on the other two. And I hate saying that about Josh Gordon because that sounds like I'm a hater. I'm just saying, Jim, how many times has he come back to the league? And whatever it is, you think it's a safe haven, doesn't necessarily turn out that way. He still needs extra help off the field. And I hope that he gets that, and I hope that it works. But I'm just saying, I'm not bullish on the idea of those three making it through 16.
Charles Davis joining us. All right, so you've played this game. You've covered this game. You've been around this game a long time, and you've seen pretty much everything there is to see. How do you explain the fact that Tom Brady is out there at 42, completing two-thirds of his passes for nearly 350 yards and three touches against a defense that people thought was really good?
You don't. There is no explanation. We just sit back and enjoy the heck out of it, Jim. You just marvel. You absolutely marvel. And if you don't marvel, then you that's when the hater really comes in, right? I don't care if you're a New England fan or not. What he has done to put himself in this position, and he's almost Benjamin Button, isn't he? They showed those pictures last night of what he looked like as a rookie to what he looks like now. Does he look like he's losing years as opposed to gaining years? And my favorite picture was when they showed he and George Blanda side by side. And Blanda, you know, because they're the guys at, 43 have thrown the three or more touchdown passes. Blanda looked like he was 63 in the picture. And Tom looked like he was closer to 23 to 25. It was unbelievable. What he has done to put himself in that spot, not many of us would sacrifice the way Tom Brady has sacrificed in order for health, conditioning, how he works at the game, all those things. Because the more success you have, Jim, what do you usually do? You get more comfortable, and you start cutting corners. That guy's never cut any corners. It is absolutely one of the most unbelievable things we've seen in the NFL, and I'm just sitting back and just trying to appreciate him while we've still got him.
No, I agree. It's impossible not to be awed by this guy unless you're only here to hate. To see what he was doing last night at 42 against a really good defense, to me, was just absolutely awesome to see. Then finally, you and I have talked about Kyler Murray in the past. I know you were covering the Eagles, but when you hear that he went for 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns and led his team back from 18 in the fourth quarter, is any part of you surprised?
Frankly, no, and here's why. When we started the preseason, obviously we go to all the height and this new offense and all the other stuff. And you remember, Jim, week two of the preseason, he had a rough game. You remember that? Remember when you end up taking the sack and he was close to the goal line? It looks like he dove back and didn't know where he was and took safety and all that. He had that rough game. But I watched him in game three against Minnesota, and I remember telling people afterwards, if he's not successful in this league, it's not because of his height and it's not because he can't throw the ball. Or throw the ball with touch, anticipation, and timing. Because if you watch that tape, well, he did a lot of those things. Ball's in the right spot all the time. So, frankly, none of that surprised me because the type of offense he's going to run, they're going to throw the ball 40 to 50 times per game. He's going to just keep getting better and better at that. The problem for them is, can they hold up in every other aspect of the game? And look, they in Detroit neither one of them was particularly impressive going into the season, it's almost fitting that it ended up being a tie, isn't it?
No doubt.
27-27. But this kid, there is a specialness to him, and they've got the exact right offense for him in terms of what they're doing, because they're going to maximize. I'm eager to watch him play throughout the year, because Lamar Jackson got tagged with plenty of the same stuff. Pretty good day for him yesterday with 5 touchdown passes. And by the way, only ran it 3 times, which is exactly what Baltimore needs more of to keep him out of harm's way.
He is an NFL Network analyst. He is an NFL and Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. Getting us started on a busy Monday. Charles Davis, my guest. Charles, appreciate you, and great to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thanks always for having me on, Jim. You take care of yourself. We'll talk down the road.
You too, bud. That was fun. Thank you very much. Charles Davis. All right, we are open until hour number 3. Get up in here right now, 1-800-636-8686. All right, 2 major topics that I haven't broken down yet that I want to get to. What happened to the Browns? What happened to America's team? Are you jumping off that bandwagon? I'm not. I'm not going to say that wasn't a gigantic letdown, because it was, but I'm not getting off that bandwagon. I'm still with them, and I'll tell you why that is. Patriots, Raiders, Antonio Brown, my thoughts on that entire thing also. And your phone lines are wide open. Also, remember Friday, I read you that report that Liberty head coach Hugh Freeze was not going to coach in a dentist chair, according to the team, according to the school, I should say. He did. If that's not a dentist chair, what is? Khabib at UFC 242. Did you check this guy? Unbelievable. How do you beat this guy? All that still ahead. Phone lines are wide open. But first, here is a bottom-of-the-hour sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So that means you want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. I will answer one of them later on. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Speaking of haters, and I told you so, dudes. Here they all come. Let me give you a sampling. These are emails. Hey, Rome, your boy, Baker Mayfield, is overrated. I like his attitude, but he has 3 things working against him. He played at Oklahoma, where no QB has had a pro career, good pro career. He's on the Browns, and he's just not physically good enough. Jeremiah in Greenville. Neither are you, Jeremiah, but that hasn't stopped you from emailing me every single day. Dear Jimmy, sure, the Browns got destroyed on their home field by a below-average team. But no worries, they've got the rest of the league right where they want them. Sincerely, Jim Rome's NHL playoff picks. Phil in Missouri. Let me ask you something, Philip. Did you watch that game? Did you see that game? Do you know anything about football? Anybody who saw that game, who knows anything about football, would not say that the Titans are a below-average team. In fact, if that's the way they're going to play, if that's who they are, they're not only not below average, they're not only a factor in their division, they'll be a factor in that conference. Again, Phil asked the question, did you watch the game even? And do you know anything about football? Nothing about Tennessee said below average. I'm going to get to my thoughts on the Browns. I'm not saying that that was not a major, major letdown and a major disappointment. I will get there in a minute. I just want to read some more of your emails. Dear Jim, that was a great start to the Cleveland Browns season. Signed, The Magic Hour. But dude, you're working pretty hard to get that in there. Hey, Rome. Awesome take on the Browns. Signed, Ron and Nicole died, but it's almost like they killed me.
Ron and Nicole were physically dead, and it's almost like they killed me.
You're going to compare what I've said about the Browns to what Oj said about Ron and Nicole. Scott Manhattan, honestly. Man, y'all badly want the Browns to suck and for me to be wrong. If that's what it is, I'll own it. But comparing me to Oj and his take about Ronda Nicole? You ever notice how the worst emailers send the worst takes? That's not surprising. Hey, Rome, don't worry about the Browns. They're still going to be very, very good. Signed, Jim Rome. Stephen Phoenix. I don't know, Steve. Why would I email myself? Why wouldn't I just say what's on my mind? Wore Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham doing a black and white photo shoot of them looking sad after the game. And now I'm getting Baker's emails, too. Dear Baker Mayfield, if this whole Browns quarterback thing doesn't work out, come see me. I have a job offer for you. It involves very little hours and great benefits. Regards, Johnny Manziel with Direct Auto Insurance.
I'm Johnny Manziel, ex-pro football player and Direct Auto Insurance spokesperson. I know what it's like to not know where your next paycheck is coming from.
Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. War Mayfield replacing Shaq in the General Insurance commercials. He won't. He won't. Shaq's not letting that go, for one thing. And Mayfield's going to be fine.
Check it.
All right, so as long as we're talking about this, and as long as we're talking about just one game, why don't we go ahead and do this? Tennessee Titans 43, Cleveland Browns 13. And it was brutal. That was the ugliest season opener for a team with Super Bowl hype in a long, long time. Maybe ever. A 30-point loss at home. And the fact is, it wasn't really just a loss. That was a 2x4 right to the face. Tennessee goes into Cleveland and absolutely smashed up the Browns in every way imaginable. Then again, the Browns did a pretty good job of smashing up the Browns themselves. Baker Mayfield, 3 interceptions, sacked 5 times, left the stadium with a wrap on his hand. I mean, this literally was still a game in the second half. It was 15-13 at one point. But then the Titans scored 28 unanswered points. The Browns committed an astounding 18 penalties for 182 yards. That's the most penalties by a Browns team since 1951. And there have been a lot of really horrible Browns teams. That's the most since 51. That's amazing. Almost as amazing as Greg Robinson getting ejected for kicking Kenny Vaccaro in the head. I mean, you got to tip your cap now. That was a legendary implosion. And they were never right after that because the entire offensive line went to hell. Guys getting busted up. They were down to 5 active linemen. You know, so you would stand to reason, or you would stand to imagine that's how Baker could get drilled for a safety.
From his end zone, Mayfield in trouble. Hit. Sack! Safety! Cameron Wake, the 100th of his illustrious career, produces 2 for Tennessee.
That was Titans radio. If they sounded like that on a safety, I wonder how they might have sounded if Baker threw a pick 6.
Throws. Intercepted. Intercepted by Butler. 30. 20. 10, 5. Did he get in? Did he get in? Yes, he did. Touchdown, Titans! Malcolm Butler to the house.
And that's not all. More hideousness to come. How about Derrick Henry going 75 yards for a TD on a screen pass without being touched? Not a single Brown near him.
Play fake. Mariota rolling right. They're going to screen it to Henry. Man is blocked in the flat. A lot of room. 30, 40, 50, 40. 30, 20, 10, 5, end
yes.
Zone.
Yes.
No flags on the field. 75 yards. Touchdown, Titans.
Not a single hand on that guy. There was not a single Brown that got one hand on him on a 75-yard TD off a screen. I mean, that game could not have gone any worse for Cleveland. At a certain point, maybe around the billionth holding penalty, it actually was kind of impressive to me. Like, I didn't think one team could commit that many penalties in 60 minutes. The offensive line was a disaster. The much-hyped defense was giving Tennessee pretty much whatever the hell they wanted. The Titans showed up with a lot of confidence, and then they dominated. That wasn't just about what Cleveland didn't do. It was also about what Tennessee did do. And unlike a hack emailer, or some of you on Twitter are saying, that was not a below-average team either. It's a good Tennessee team. And I know what a lot of you are thinking. Cleveland got too much hype. Cleveland got too much love. Cleveland is not cracked up to be what we thought they were. Cleveland is not ready for prime time. The media built them up. And then they started to read their own press clippings and thinking, we are great. We're awesome. They thought they'd just show up yesterday, mess around, and win easily. What you're thinking is what Titans tight end Delanie Walker said after the game.
Circle this game. You know what I mean? This is just another game. We ain't worried about it. I'm going to tell you again, man. They were who we thought they were. Y'all can crown them if you want to crown them. Still got to play football.
I get it. That's not unfair. That's not unfair. And what that is old school Denny Green. And I know all of you people are out there saying, same old Browns, same old Browns. The Browns are who we thought they were.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
A lot of you were saying that. I see it on Twitter. I see it in my emails. I see you saying they're still chokers. Cleveland is still the mistake by the lake. This group is overrated. They're overhyped. They're paper champs. You're going to come in here and point to Odell Beckham Jr. rocking a Richard Mille on his wrist as proof that he is a diva and that they're not ready. You're going to say that most of last year's wins came against teams with losing records. You're going to say Freddie Kitchens was not ready to be a head coach. You're going to say that the league has already figured out Baker Mayfield or that he was overrated in the first place. Then you're going to make it personal. You're going to say, hey, Rome, you've been calling them America's team for nearly a year. Don't you feel like an idiot? Don't you want to take that back? That take aged pretty well, Rome. Don't you want to stop hyping them? Don't you want to apologize for that? Where's the apology, Rome? You know what? You know what? You might be right. Honestly, you might be right. That was that bad of a loss. That was a brutal loss. And you know what? I'm the first guy to say, own it, be accountable, be responsible. All right, then. All right, then. In the aftermath of a beatdown like that, I'll own it, and I am here to apologize. I am here to apologize to all of you for absolutely nothing.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
There you go. I'm not going to stop hyping them. Not yet. I'm going to double down, in fact. Are you cowards? Are you Johnny-come-latelys? Are you summer soldiers? Are you sunshine patriots? Are you bandwagon hoppers? Jump off. Jump off right now. Because I built this bandwagon in the darkness. I was building this thing when everybody else was clowning the Browns last year. I'm not giving up on America's team because of one loss. No, not only am I not getting off now, I'll buy more. I'll double down. I'm going on record as saying not only was yesterday's 30-point beatdown at home in the season opener not bad, I'm going to say it's good. No, that was great. Because now all you fair-weather fans are gone. Now it's just the guys in that locker room and the true believers. Baker Mayfield said it best himself afterwards.
Because everybody's going to throw us in the trash. I think that's good. I know what type of men we have in this locker room. And quite frankly, I don't really give a damn what happens on the outside. I know how we're going to react. I know what we're going to do, how we're going to bounce back.
That's the damn truth. Hey, look, I know how tough their schedule is during the next stretch. I know that Baker might be banged up at the moment. And I don't hate that Beckham was wearing a third of a mil on his wrist during a game. In fact, I actually like it. And I know that Monday's game against the Jets could almost be a must win. I know this as well, though. That crew was forged in fire. They're tough as hell. They're going to bounce back. And yesterday was not the end for the Browns. It was the beginning. So again, let me make this very clear, haters. Jim Rome does what the bleep he wants, and that's hype America's team.
The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
I'm not jumping off, but go ahead. Do it. We don't need you. We never wanted you. Going into hour number two, my thoughts on the Patriots, the Raiders, and the Browns. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. We're coming right back.